Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, December 15th, 2010. We're halfway through the month here, not quite into winter yet, despite what it may look like outside your window. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Before we get into the news here, I'm just noticing on the corporate media a definite campaign of attempting to demonize the internet. CNN is going on and on about how you got to be careful what you put in Facebook because divorce lawyers will use that to prove that you're messing around on your wife. And which I think is absurd, because I think anybody who's been around the blogosphere and the social networking sites knows that people tend to be exaggerating about their conquests, if you will. So I don't know how reliable that information could be, but there's just a general tone from the corporate media. They don't like the fact that we're taking audience away from them and advertising revenues away from them, and they're trying to basically say, oh, you don't want to go over there. Now, interestingly enough, the founder of Facebook is going to be Time's Person of the Year. Julian Assange didn't get it. And all those people who worked so hard to try and send out all those spam emails about, you know, we've got to get WikiLeaks up there. They didn't quite make it. He's a runner-up, as are we all here. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this situation with Clay Duke, who's the gentleman who walked into a Florida school board meeting yesterday with a gun and started pulling the trigger. And the media, of course, is saying, oh, he's a bad man, he's a bad man. He's certainly a lousy shot. He didn't hit anybody at all. It may well be that when it came time to pull the trigger, he just couldn't put that sight on a living target. Until you're actually in that position, you don't really know. So there may have been some. Clearly, he was at the end of his rope, and you know, a lot of people are saying he wanted to die, he just couldn't do it to himself. They're trying to claim now that he did turn the gun on himself. We don't see that in the video. He was shot by the school board's security chief. We see that in the video right now. And everybody's saying, oh, what a terrible thing. And my response to that, just as it was with Joe Stack, and even now there's another story breaking where some guy's gone on a rampage in Spain over financial problems and killed four people. And my answer to that is, what did you expect was going to happen? If you look at Clay Duke and how he got to that situation of walking into that school board meeting with a gun, and you're going to see an echo of stories that are played out identically all across America every single day. The man lost his job. His job got offshored to another country because of U.S. government tax policy. Then the unemployment runs out. Then the school lets his wife go. And they've got no money and no savings and no prospects for the future. How did you think he was going to react? You know, did you think that he and his wife were just going to quietly leave their home and go move into a tent city and just stay there out of sight of Wall Street and the tourists until they froze to death and could be harvested for organ transplants? No, these are human beings, and you can only push a human being so far before some very instinctive behavior starts to surface. We feel anger and rage because they are survival mechanisms. And the liberal Margaret Mead, we can re-engineer humans through social engineering nonsense aside, you push a person far enough, they're going to start pushing back. And that is what happened in Florida yesterday. Now, I'm not encouraging him and I'm not agreeing with him, but I can't quite condemn him. I understand exactly what put him in that position. And the danger sign is that there's a couple of hundred other million Americans who are mere days away from being in the same situation of utter hopelessness, where striking out is their last instinctive thing to do. All right, we're going to take a break here for our first commercials. When we come back, I want to get into this in a little bit more depth and exactly what's going on and how foolish our government and business leaders would be to ignore what's going on. We'll be right back.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 40.
On the fifth day of global warming, Al Gore gave to me $5 $4 guests, 3 failed automakers, 2 melting ice caps, and a fear-mongering documentary.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Greetings to our shortwave audience over on WWCR. And the phone lines are open. Chris is sitting in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble and ready to answer your phone calls. We're talking about Clay Duke, who yesterday walked into a school board meeting in Florida, brandished a firearm, pulled the trigger, shooting holes in the walls, and nobody else, was in turn shot by the security chief of the school district or school building, and died. They're saying he turned the gun on himself. Other reports said that he'd only had a cap gun anyway, so it's a little bit confused out there. And everybody's saying, oh, how terrible, how terrible. But again, my response watching this story unfold and the one that's taking place in Spain right now and Joe Stack crashing into the IRS, what did you expect? When you take away Americans' jobs through tax credits to corporations that encourage offshoring, when you take away their homes to recapitalize the banks in order to bail them out from the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities they're having to repurchase, when you tax Americans' wealth away, not to make the nation better, but to give it to already rich bankers and foreign governments until Americans are watching the fruits of a lifetime of hard labor vanish before their eyes, plundered by imperial edict. How do you expect them to react? They're not just going to sit down and fall over dead and fall into a hole where you can cover them over and get them out of the way. These are human beings. our family, our friends, our neighbors. They will not go quietly into that dark night, nor should we want them to, nor should the rest of us ignore the indignity of their unnecessary impoverishment and servitude. Now, to the ultra-rich and powerful who live such lofty lives of $100,000 watches and $150 hamburgers, who are living in their high towers over Wall Street so they don't have to smell the sweat of those whose labor pays for those hamburgers and watches, people and houses and cars are their things. They're assets on a balance sheet. They're just numbers in columns. They're abstract. And when people are that abstracted in the minds of the business leaders, it's too easy to dehumanize the working and middle classes, to simply reduce them to a collection of components, to be plugged into assembly lines and factories, harnessed to the banks, enslaved to manufactured debt, and like any other part or piece that gets worn out, thrown out when they're no longer useful. But people do not see themselves as components of disposable machinery. They resent it. People do not see their own home as merely an asset on a bank balance sheet, or their job as simply an item in the bookkeeping for a large corporation. The home that you live in, the job that you work at, is a major part of your identity. It's who you are. Whether you're a doctor or a teacher or a baker or a carpenter, that's a big part of your identity. That home that you live in, that you're constantly working on, that you're putting lights on outside right now for the holidays, that's part of your identity. It's part of your person, your persona. When somebody comes in to take your job away, when somebody comes in to take your home away, it's perceived as an attack on the person, on the individual. And they're going to respond. They're going to react as if it's a personal attack. And pushed hard enough, they're going to fight back. Now, this apparently is a big surprise to the lords and ladies of the realm. Much like Prince Charles and Camilla, when angry British students who understand they're being forced into debt slavery by having to resort to student loans from the banks instead of government support for their education, which used to be the norm. And they're out there rocking that armored Rolls Royce around and screaming off with their heads. And you could see the look of surprise on the prince and princess. The peasants are revolting. Are they allowed to do that? I don't think it was in the rules. And they weren't angry and they weren't even afraid. They were surprised. They were absolutely stunned that the masses of the great unwashed would stand up and fight back. I imagine that Nicolae Ceaușescu must have been equally surprised when those bullets smacked into him, or Charles I when the axe fell, or Louis XVI or Mussolini or any of these other rulers who were so convinced their populations were mindless cattle, a great mass of humanity whose only role in life was to serve the rich and powerful. And when the population rose up against them, they were probably very surprised. This isn't supposed to happen. This is not the world. I read it in this holy document. We're supposed to have all the money and power, and they're supposed to just be happy in their servitude. Now they're storming the Bastille. What'll be next? But when you look back at how these governments and these leaders treated their people, again, what did they expect was going to happen? Now the media is making a great deal of the fact that Clay Duke sprayed the Circle and V logo on the wall. Symbol from graphic novel and later the movie V for Vendetta. And they're trying to basically imply that because he resorted to this symbol from a movie, that Clay Duke was clearly not dealing with reality. I disagree. Clay Duke was dealing with the reality of American life as it is today in a very predictable manner. Just as Joe Stack did when he plunged his airplane into the IRS office down in Texas. Both men reacted exactly as we would expect them to react given the reality of their circumstances. As it turned out, Joe Stack was legally right and the IRS was legally wrong, but they grabbed his home and business anyway, and that's when he started crashing his plane into the building. Now, if the government and the bankers fail to understand that 300 million Americans have been pushed to the point of desperate action, that's not a failing of the American people. It's a failure of leadership. It's a failure of perception. It's a failure of their imagination to understand the consequences of their actions against the general population. Now, I'm not defending Clay Duke for what he did, but I do understand it. I understand when people shoot foreclosure officials, or they set fire to banks or ATM machines, or they bulldoze and burn their own homes before they let the bank take it. They're reacting as if they're being personally attacked. It's human nature when people are pushed to the breaking point, and no amount of social engineering can change our basic nature. Now, it's rather interesting. Last night on National Geographic Channel, which when they're not propagandizing about 9/11, they still carry some occasional good programming, and they were talking about what is called, recently discovered, the warrior gene. And my wife, Claire, was commenting, oh, I'll bet DARPA and DOD, they're in there trying to say, how can they harvest this for war making? And that may well be the case, that they will search for people with this warrior gene, this capability of violence, in order to turn them into more efficient killers that we're going to drop on other people's countries in order to steal their wealth. But I kept looking at this and saying to myself, this research into the so-called warrior gene confirms what we have been saying for years at whatreallyhappened.com. Margaret Mead got hoaxed, and the entire liberal political theory that you can re-engineer the human mind by socially engineering the environment is bunk. It has no more merit than the claim that humans alone are responsible for global warming. Mead got hoaxed. The people down there in Samoa were telling her what she clearly wanted to hear. She didn't fact check. She came back, was lionized by the liberal establishment, saying, oh, see, this justifies complete control over all of your lives, because we will make you happier and less stressed out if we're absolutely controlling everything around you. That whole idea that your genetic background has no impact on your mind at all. Now, obviously, we know that's not true. And yet, this idea that we could be talked into believing that slavery and servitude was positive and beneficial and that we would be happy little worker bees is failing. That's what happened yesterday in Florida. Clay Duke walked in and proved that the experiment of social engineering to turn us all into wonderful little happy workers who would work our lives away and allow the wealth to be taken away and given to Wall Street and Israel and the war machine without complaint has failed. And now we've got to confront the fact that we may have an entire nation of Clay Dukes just seconds away from grabbing that trigger. Now, I know for the gun grabbers, they're going to have a field day and say, we've got to ban firearms. Yeah, okay, ban the firearms. The next Clay Duke will walk into an office building with a can of gasoline and a couple of road flares. Or you'll have another Joe Stack with airplanes. Or simply crashing cars and trucks into police cars. I mean, when you get 100, 200, 300 million Americans who all get angry at the same time, do you think banning guns is going to change anything? Do you think trying to create the illusion of a snitch on every corner is going to be a deterrent? It isn't, because all of these propaganda operations are predicated on the idea that all of this social engineering has changed the basic nature of the human beings who are the citizens of this country, and it hasn't. We feel anger and rage for a very good reason. They're survival traits. We've had them for millions of years, and two decades of propaganda is not going to change that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Do you need help? help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about Clay Duke and the shooting in the Florida school board meeting yesterday. Responding to a comment in the chat room where somebody is saying that apparently Associated Press is now quoting the school board members as saying the gun was only loaded with blanks, which is a contradiction to the story that the guy shot himself. Now, for those of you who don't understand this, the gun that he used is an automatic, has the slide on the top that's a reloading mechanism. Unless the gun is specially modified, like we would do on a motion picture set, firing a blank from an automatic pistol, it won't reload. The action won't cycle. There's not enough blowback. There's not enough force to cause the gun to actually operate correctly. The fact that he pulled the trigger more than once and got it to fire more than once, those had to be live rounds. Or he got the gun from a motion picture special effects company. That's the only two possibilities. Personally, I think he went in with a live gun with live bullets. And when he pointed the gun at the people and pulled the trigger, he just couldn't keep the sight on a living target. You know, we are from birth deeply conditioned not to kill each other. Then 6 weeks of basic training completely screw that up, turn people into monsters. All right, now I want to get back to this other issue about the V for Vendetta, and they're making a big deal over the fact, I mean, I'm glad he didn't put up the What Really Happened logo on the wall, But he put up the V for Vendetta, and they're saying, oh, well, it's just, he's a kook. He's a nut. But I want to read you this quote from the movie, V for Vendetta. Symbols are given power by people. A symbol in and of itself, but with enough people behind it, blowing up a building, or in this case, shooting a school board, can change the world. Now, a symbol can unite people in a common cause against a common enemy. And right now, the common enemy is a bunch of greedy money addict sociopaths at the pinnacles of our business and political leadership. But symbols can unite people against that kind of oppression. Long before the Stars and Stripes, the Gadsden flag, those of you on Justin TV can see it behind me, the Gadsden flag became the common symbol against the taxation and economic oppression of a government that refused to listen to its own people. Same situation that we have right now. And it doesn't matter where a symbol comes from. After all, the melody for the Star Spangled Banner was copied from a drinking song. Guys in taverns, you know, with tankards full of ale, just, you know, getting totally blitzed drunk would be singing this thing. Francis Scott Key simply wrote a new set of words to put onto it. What matters is if the symbol captures the public imagination. And movies have been part of our culture for 100 years. It is inevitable that symbols created for the movies will find resonance in the popular culture. In fact, the people who create movies hope that will happen. Live long and prosper. Or may the force be with you. All these things that transition from the creative arts into the popular consciousness. The circle V symbol is easy to create by design, and it does stand for a metaphor of the situation we find ourselves in right now, a tyrannical government imposing dictatorship over all of us in the name of protecting us from an enemy they themselves created. So like I said, I don't condone what Clay Duke did, and I certainly don't encourage anybody to emulate him. But I understand what he did. And again, what did you expect was going to happen when you impoverish the American people, tax them into poverty, take away their homes to rebalance the bank's balance sheets? What did you think was going to happen? And why were you so stupid that you didn't understand that this is on the way? And that what Joe Stack and Clay Duke have done today, dozens more will be doing in a couple of weeks. And after that, it'll be hundreds. And after that, it'll be thousands. Because you cannot socially engineer rage and anger out of us. No matter how hard you try, there is a breaking point. We're there right now. Now, speaking of breaking point and speaking of being taxed down into poverty, ignoring all the corporate media proclamations that the economy is great, go out and shop till you drop and max out those credit cards, because if you don't max out the credit cards, the terrorists will have succeeded in destroying American civilization and all that we hold dear and valuable, which I guess is a new MP3 player, or the 3D TVs, which are turning out to be this year's total bomb high-tech toy. Nobody wants to deal with those glasses. But the post office, which of course this time every year processes all kinds of letters for Santa Claus, and I guess TSA says you got to open those and make sure those are real ginger cookies and not some kind of Osama bin Laden bomb. So the postal workers are reading the letters from kids to Santa Claus, and they're noticing a very striking trend. The kids who are writing letters to Santa Claus are not asking for toys and dolls and video games and computers. They're asking for the basic necessities of life. Coats, shoes, blankets, food, job for mom, job for dad. Make the bad people go away and stop pounding on our doors. That's what this Christmas is really about. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
On the fifth day of global warming, Al Gore gave to me
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phones. Tom in Connecticut. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
You know, I'm talking to people about our situation, the economy, and how the banks are really just parasites. To make it easy to understand, I explain to them how, imagine if you were on an island and you're trying to survive, a group of people. So you would figure out what you can do, what skills each person has, what abilities you can contribute to survive, you know, to gather food and build shelters. And that's the real economy, because the real economy is based around the three basic human needs of food, clothing, and shelter. Mm-hmm. If you put bankers or Wall Street investors on this island, what are they going to do? Say, okay, well, I'm the banker, so I'll sit here and I will organize all your monetary needs. And no, that's bull. You put a bunch of bankers on an island and they'd all starve to death in a couple weeks.
No, they'd probably start eating the poor is what they'd probably do. And you're absolutely right. There's a wonderful little video on the internet called Money as Debt, and the first part of it is a history of the evolution of banking. And what's amazing is when you go to school in the United States of America, you're taught about banking as it used to be, when people would pool their money together. They'd bank it together in order to accomplish a larger purpose than anybody could do individually. But that's not how banking works in the United States today, and yet that is not taught in the school. I mean, that is absolutely the giveaway that something is very, very wrong with the system when you're taught in the school that banking is one thing and then you get out in the world and you realize it's something else completely. Many Americans still don't understand that when you borrow money from the bank, you're not borrowing money deposited by other customers. They're just creating the money out of thin air. And you're expected to work to pay it back at full face value plus interest. And people, for some reason, have a real hard time grasping that because they have been completely brainwashed by this idea of what banking is supposed to be that they get from the public school system.
Yeah, and I like the island example because it really makes you think, what do we need to survive? If we are trying to survive out in the middle of nowhere, what do we really need? What is necessary and what is not necessary? And bankers, they're the first ones off the list. We don't need you or what you call your skills in banking. We need to build a structure. We need to gather food. We need real things to survive. And bankers, they just don't provide anything real.
Well, I'm not sure I'm willing to go to that extreme because a monetary system does assist the exchange of goods. You don't want to go back to bartering. I've got a dead sheep. I'll trade you for three of your pots. So a monetary system allows as a medium of exchange. That definitely helps society. And monetary systems do help promote specialization of skills, more efficient providing of those skills. The problem is that money is a tool and utility, and like anything else, it can be used for good purposes and it can be used for bad purposes. The economy, as it was set up by the founding fathers of the United States, worked to serve the common good of the people. The banks, as they exist today under the private central bank model, are tools of enslavement and enforced poverty and fascism, and that has to go. But we're still going to need a monetary system, you know, issued by the government, and hopefully by a government that is so terrified of the people that they're going to mind their manners.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with that. But, okay. But look at it this way. Do you have a full-time servant at your house to open the door when you get home, or do you have a personal cook that you pay? Do you have people to pay to do these things for you?
Well, I understand what you're saying. The private central bank absolutely does not serve any social purpose whatsoever. It's a scam. We've had three of them. All three of them have pretty much wrecked the country. All three of them came into existence because we had politicians and presidents in Congress who were able to be corrupted and vote through these private central banks, even though nobody has yet answered the query I put out the other day. Because the monetary system was defined in the Constitution, it should have taken a constitutional amendment to create a private central bank issuing the public currency at interest. There was no constitutional amendment. The Federal Reserve, in my opinion, is unconstitutional, and they don't have enough money to make me shut up about that, by the way. Let me finish a thought here. If you go to this article I wrote called Bankers Gone Wild, and up at the top of it there are two illustrations of the American economy as it was started under the Constitution, and then the American economy with the Federal Reserve. And you will see that the only difference is the existence of the Federal Reserve and the money it is the wealth it's continually taking out of the previous cycle. It doesn't actually do anything that benefits the American people, you know, one iota. It did make more of this pretend printed up counterfeit money available to politicians, which is why they sold out. But it really is not for the benefit of the people.
Well, what I was getting at is we pay them to do something that we are perfectly capable of doing on our own through our government.
That's exactly right.
And they live in their mansions, and they have their yachts and their limos because we don't take care of our own monetary system and run our own monetary system.
Well, the problem is that we were brainwashed into thinking that the federal government is taking care of us and would never allow this kind of exploitation of the people to come into existence. Now, of course, we know better. Our government has been lying to us for decades about everything from Pearl Harbor to Saddam's nuclear bombs to human-caused global warming. The oil magically disappeared from the Gulf of Mexico back in July 15th, and on and on and on. And they're trying to tell us the economy is okay and we should go on with the system that we have now, when common sense in your own eyes are saying absolutely not.
Oh, and one last thing. Do you have any comments on the Madoff suicide?
I'm having a hard time feeling sorry for the guy. I know a lot of people have suggested that maybe it wasn't a suicide because one of the other key brokers who knew where the money had gone off to supposedly drowned in his own pool back in October. So at this point, I'm not ready to agree that it was a suicide. I don't really know. I need more information. But when you're talking about that kind of money, billions and billions of dollars, people getting, you know, killed off, you know, it's a given that that's going to happen.
Okay, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Ian in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Ian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to pick up where you guys left off on the banking issue. In my opinion, banking is not the problem. I mean, banking is a valuable service. It's good to have credit. Because if you want to expand the pool of goods and services in a society, you need to have that elasticity there to be able to expand the money supply. The problem is usury. It's stealing wealth from other people without contributing anything. That's the problem, and that's what these central bankers do. It's not, wealth isn't the problem. Everybody wants wealth. You know, it's stealing other wealth from other people that you didn't earn.
Well, that's definitely the motive behind the Federal Reserve. And I think if you look back in ancient history, virtually every civilization and religion eventually came to a point of saying usury is bad. Usury is destructive of our society. The Muslims still forbid usury. They have flat fee lending over there. And even the Christian religion forbade usury up until the time of the Templars, who sort of kind of got around it by saying it was rent on the money rather than usury and interest. And of course, that was the reason that the Templars became so rich and powerful so quickly. They were the only financial institution allowed to charge compound interest on the money they were loaning out. They very quickly became very rich. Everybody else became poor, till the point where Philip IV finally had to say, the only way I can get out of these debts is I'm going to have to kill them all off, because the Templars basically were running the same trap that the Federal Reserve is. The instant that first paper note went into circulation, more money was owed to the Templars than was actually in existence. Now, the Templars dealt in coin versus paper note, but the same principle applied. Past a certain point, more money was owed to the Templars on the books than was actually available and in existence, and it was an unescapable trap. And we keep going back and forth throughout history. I mean, Jefferson believed in money with inherent value. Alexander Hamilton believed in the banknote economy, which is why they put him on the $20 Federal Reserve note. And, you know, it goes back and forth. And the banknote model, the private central bank model, benefits the bankers and everybody who's in their employ. The fixed monetary worth system, the coin system, if you will, really provides stability of wealth for the people. Now, I think banking, as we were taught it was supposed to be, customers bring money in, the bank loans it out, charges interest, it's self-limiting because it can only work within the amount of money that's available, you know, in the society. But the instant you start saying you can create money out of thin air, inevitably inflation is going to result and your money becomes devalued. And eventually, because it's a pyramid scheme, it has to collapse, which is what's going on now.
I believe it's North Dakota. Is it North Dakota that has the state-owned bank?
Yeah, and they're doing much better than the rest of the United States right now.
Much better. And you want, there's people everywhere on the news, the quote-unquote news and TV, saying we don't know what the problem is. You know, we don't know what's going on here. Why is no one talking about this bank in North Dakota that is working miracles, essentially, you know, in today's financial climate?
Everybody on those TV news shows is making a ton of money, and they're up to their neck in debt to the banks for their home mortgages and their car. They're driving a big fancy car, all on credit. They're not going to say anything to upset the bankers. The banks are running this country. I mean, look at the way Bernanke is walking around like he's in charge of the government. Over in Great Britain, we're now finding out that the head of the bank was the one who set up their bailout over there months before Gordon's made in a public announcement, we're going to have to bail out the banks. The decision for the bailout came from the bankers, not from the government. They're running the place. They get governments and people into debt slavery, and they say, okay, I'm your master now. You will do what I tell you. And it is an enslavement mechanism when you have an entire economy based on debt. It is a system intended to plunge the culture into slavery. And Woodrow Wilson, unfortunately, it took him 6 years to realize that, but Woodrow Wilson understood that when he got suckered into signing the Federal Reserve Act, that that is exactly what he had done. He had enslaved the American people to a bunch of private bankers.
All right, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Thank you for the phone call. Now, I want to jump back a little bit to this Clay Duke situation because a lot of people are screaming about, gun control and, you know, are the gun grabbers going to come out and take care of, are they going to use this and exploit the situation? And they might be. They absolutely might be. But again, the situation is that, people who reach the breaking point, they're going to use whatever's available. They're going to use whatever's available, gasoline, airplanes, cars, trucks, and let's see. I'm trying to look back for a note there. Yeah, we talked about the gun control situation. Obviously, I'm opposed to gun control. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, how wonderful the world would be without guns. And I wanted to remind everybody, our image of the American Wild West is not accurate. It is the result of a propaganda campaign. Do you know why the gunfight at the OK Corral is so historic? You know, the Earps against the Clantons? Because it was rare. It was unusual. And that's why it became this big historic situation. And, you know, Wyatt Earp, after it was all over, went out to Hollywood, became a consultant for the silent movie cowboy film stars like Tom Mix. That's why Hollywood always tells the story of the gunfight at the OK Corral from Wyatt Earp's point of view. But it became famous because it was rare and it was unusual. Everybody carried guns in the Old West, not to shoot at each other, to shoot rattlesnakes, or if you fell off your horse and you were being dragged by the stirrup, you had to have a gun on your hip to shoot the horse or you're going to die. That's why everybody was wearing guns in holsters on their belt. Very practical, pragmatic. The incidence of violence in the West was very low compared to our modern cities, especially in areas where there's gun control. Up until the Supreme Court decision recently, where handguns were completely banned in Washington, D.C., they had the highest per capita murder rate in the country. Meanwhile, up in Vermont, where they've got a concealed carry law that says, pick it up, put it in your pocket, concealed carry, crime and violence is virtually non-existent. Because if criminals know that everybody around them is armed, crime goes down. And that has been confirmed time and time again. Historical studies, statistical studies, police records. If everybody's carrying a gun, or if most people are carrying a gun, crime goes down. When you disarm the populace, the criminals go, yee-haw, it's open season, and crime will go right through the roof. The only people who want to take your guns away are organized crime and dictators. So, with regard to gun control, obviously, I disagree. The reason we have this image of the Wild West being wild had to do with a phenomenon called the dime novels. When the Louisiana Purchase was completed and the government passed the Homestead Act to encourage workers from the East to migrate west and settle the land, the industrialists on the East Coast were terrified they were going to lose their workers because you had these, you know, men and women working 50, 60 hours a week in a factory for virtually no money, no safety, no insurance, living in squalor and in the cities, and all of a sudden the government says, if you go out west, you can have, you know, a whole bunch of land for free and have a farm and just take care of yourself. And everybody said, yeah, great deal. So the industrialists on the East Coast hired writers to write horror stories about the terrible things that were happening out west, and people were being scalped, and there were bushwhackers, and there were criminals. And yeah, there was a lot of crime out there in the West, but not compared to the East Coast, like the gangs of New York, if you remember the history of that, during the time of the draft riots. Crime out west was per capita was much, much, much lower, but the image of the Wild West was pumped up as being dangerous in order to scare the workers into staying in their little cubby holes in the factories. So, in point of fact, I welcome going back to the Wild Wild West, because it was, for the most part, pretty darn peaceful. And especially when you live in an age where the police are saying they have no obligation to actually protect the citizenry, well, then you're on your own. You might as well load up and pack that iron on the hip there. Now, we're almost to the end of the segment. I did want to mention, if you look at what's going on over in Europe, the protests are over there. They're getting violent. The Greek protests are going violent. They're setting fires in Rome. You know, they were screaming off with their head in London. It's blowing up all over the place. The corporate media is trying to sort of pretend this is not going on. I was watching CNN earlier today. They're going on about Nicolas Cage apparently had some kind of a public meltdown. This isn't news. That's tabloidism. The whole of the Western world, the prey of the bankers, are standing up and saying no more. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for 5 or 6 other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And CNN has been spending mucho minutes of airtime on the fact that Scarlett Johansson and Ryan Reynolds are breaking up. Their marriage is over. I don't even know who these people are. And it certainly does not affect my life because my marriage is in really good shape, thankfully. But this is what CNN is feeding you, because they don't want to talk about the riots in Greece and the riots in Rome and the riots in Great Britain and the new government of Iceland, because it might give you uppity sheeple bad ideas. Now, you want to talk about the obviousness and patheticness of the propaganda that's coming out of the government right now. In fact, it's starting to feel almost like the White House is just running on autopilot. Oh, we have to react to this, say this. We have to react to that, say that. Yesterday, we were reporting that Richard Holbrooke, when he was going into surgery, 21 hours of surgery, which ultimately did not work, his aorta was coming apart. He had a huge aneurysm, desperate situation. And his last words were to get out of the Afghan war. A lot of people saying, wow, dying words. We got to listen to this man. The White House has now come out with this claim that Holbrooke was just joking. He's just having jokes with his doctors. I mean, his heart is falling apart. He's in intense pain. He's going into surgery, and he's going to make jokes about ending the war in Afghanistan. I mean, setting aside the fact that people who are going to surgery generally don't make that kind of joke when they're in that kind of pain. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. It's not a joke, even under the best of circumstances. Now, given what happened to Holbrooke, he had to be in intense pain. He had to be aware there was a very real possibility he was going to be dying. You're not going to be joking like that. And this is how desperate the White House is to try and keep the high ground on the propaganda that Afghanistan is good and we can win and we're going to go in there. By the way, they blew up a school there today. NATO airstrike blew up a school with 30 suspects, all of whom had finger paint all over their hands. We're going to go to the phones. David in Iowa. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Not much. Just thinking about the Federal Reserve and how, you know, we're getting messed over by it. Mm-hmm. And I was hearing you talking about it, and I've watched Money is Dead, too, and I understand debt slavery, and I agree with you there. But on the constitutionality of the Federal Reserve, there is a point that, like, Congress has delegated authority to run monetary policy to them, which is idiotic to do, but is not unconstitutional to do. There's no law that says that you have to not accept getting screwed over by someone. And that's what we're getting screwed over by, is those private banks that are all members of the Federal Reserve System. And while they did not challenge the constitutionality of it, they did rob us of a value-based system, like the Greenback system. And the Greenback Party, what happened to them? I mean, they were there for 100 years, pretty much, after Lincoln, and they're not reported in history books either. You know, we're not taught these things.
No, all of the alternative monetary systems are erased from our popular culture. You know, if you go back and you look at the American Revolution, it was the Currency Act by King George III that so impoverished and enraged America. That's where the revolution came from, being taxed into poverty and starvation, which is what's going on here right now. But in our public schools, we're taught, a T-tax and Stamp Act and all these other things, and they don't talk about the Currency Act anymore, because the sharp students would look at this and say, wait a minute, we're back there. We're doing now, today, what we fought a revolution to prevent, you know, 200 years ago. David, got to let you go. Got to take a station break. We'll be back with Karen Tostado, because today is the strike day, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's true.